Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Heaven is just the ultimate experience of fellowship with God, but God wants that fellowship to start right here on earth. It's this reestablishing of a friendship. You know, the Bible uses the term reconciliation. You know what a reconciliation is? It's to bring together two parties that have been separated from each other. God and man were once united, but were separated by sin. Jesus came to reconcile us to God.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 17, in a message titled, Abiding. Now here's Pastor Brian.
The joy's not there. The peace isn't there. The patience isn't there. Those kinds of things. The love maybe isn't there. And even in the various activities that I'm involved in the various efforts to serve the Lord, I'll notice kind of a dullness and that sort of a thing. And, you know, there are those times when I've looked at this passage and just suddenly realized that's what's happening. I'm not abiding in that deeper sense. I'm not taking the time. I'm not making the effort to saturate myself in the Lord and in His life. That's what Jesus is talking about, abiding in Him. And all of the things that He says. In verse 7, He says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, again, we mentioned that that had a primary application to the apostles, but it certainly has an application to us as well. And the promise is, if we're living our lives in Jesus, if we're just rooted in Him, deeply rooted in Him, we're going to be asking for things and we're going to be seeing God work. We're going to be seeing answers to our prayers. And if we're not seeing answers to our prayers, if we're not sensing that God is responding to the things that we're asking for, maybe it's because we're asking for all the wrong things. And of course, if we're not abiding in that deeper sense, then we easily could be asking for all the wrong things. It's not hard to drift away from the center and then to just sort of get just, you know, maybe even slightly off, but then everything changes. Your perspective changes, your priorities change, your desires change. Then suddenly you find yourself asking for things that those aren't really the things that God wants to be granting, because they're not things that will really benefit us spiritually. They're not things that will ultimately really glorify Him. But it's when we're in that place of that real abiding, that's when, you know, I'm asking, and my asking is so in tune with the Spirit of God that, man, the Lord's just, He's able to grant those requests because we're asking for the right things. Now, in verse 9, He gives us another key to understanding what it is to abide. As the Father loved Me, I also have loved you. Abide in My love. And then He says, if you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love. Just as I kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. So here's where obedience comes into the picture. And remember in chapter 14, Jesus said something that was similar regarding keeping the commandments. And we pointed out back there that this is just a broad term for God's word. It's not a specific or the Ten Commandments specifically. It's just a way of referring to God's word in general. So Jesus says, if we keep His word, we will abide in His love. Obedience it's essential to abiding in His love, being in that place of experiencing God's love and God's blessing. You know, in that little epistle to Jude, or excuse me, that little epistle from Jude, he says an interesting thing there. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. You remember reading that? Keep yourselves in the love of God. And you might ask a question, well, how do we do that? What does that look like? And I thought that God always loved us. After all, doesn't the Bible say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? And doesn't it say that while we were yet sinners, Christ demonstrated his love for us and so forth? And yes, it says all of that, but it also says to keep yourself in the love of God. And I think what Jude is really talking about there is that there's the possibility that we could put ourselves outside of the sphere of experiencing God's love and his blessing. It's not that he doesn't love us. He still loves us, but he's not able to do for us what he'd like to do because our disobedience has put us in a place of being cut off from that. That's what Jesus is basically talking about here. If we're going to abide in his love, if we're going to experience that love and that blessing upon our lives, it's contingent on this one thing. It's contingent on obedience. Just illustrating it from the human standpoint, you know, it's quite possible, maybe you've had this experience, all of us as parents have to some degree or another, you love your children, you always love your children. That's the way it is. Because they're your kids, and you love them. But there are times when, even though you love them, you're not really able to show them the love that you have for them, or they're not able to experience that love or benefit from that love because they put themselves in a place where they're outside of that sphere of blessing through disobedience, through rebellion, or, you know, something like that. And there are many relationships where there is an estrangement between the parent and the child. And if you were to talk to the parent, they would say, oh, I love my child. But yet, if you were to talk to the child, they'd say, well, I don't think my parents love me. Well, why not? Well, you know, they don't do anything for me. They, you know, a list of reasons why. But then you investigate it a little further and you find that, oh, well, look, there's this problem here. There's this rift here. There's this rebellion, this disobedience that's cut you off from receiving practically the love that they actually do have for you. And that's what can happen sometimes in our lives as God's children. Because of disobedience, because of rebellion, because of a failure to keep his word, we put ourselves in a place where even though God loves us, he's not able to bless us like he wants to because we've got this sin issue that is in the way. So Jesus is telling us how to make sure that we don't find ourselves in that kind of a predicament. Keep my commandments and you will abide in my love. So we must be obedient to the Lord. And if we fall into disobedience, we'll cut ourselves off from the blessing until we get that rectified, until we come to the Lord, humble ourselves before him, and ask him to forgive us. And, of course, he will do that at that time. But as long as we're holding on to something, as long as we're in an area of disobedience, we will put ourselves outside of experiencing his love. But Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. He says, I'm telling you this so your joy will be full. He's telling us how to have a fullness of joy. It's by abiding in him. How do we abide in him? We abide in him practically by obeying him, by keeping his word. Now he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So what is the commandment? It's to love each other. You know, this commandment is repeated over and over again in the scriptures. And I've discovered why. God says it over and over again. It's because we need to hear it over and over again, because we can easily get into a place where we're not loving each other. We're not loving the people that we ought to be loving. Somebody does something that we don't like. Somebody says something that we don't like. We get irritated, and, you know, then there's a rift. There's a division that happens. But he calls us to love each other, and then he says, as I have loved you. Now, he said this back in chapter 13 as well, and we looked at it when we were back in chapter 13. But this commandment, back in chapter 13, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Now, maybe you remember, we talked about that wasn't, to love one another wasn't really a new commandment, because you could find that commandment back in the law of Moses. The new part of it was that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus says it again here, and then he tells us exactly what he means by that. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's what he's talking about. Love one another as I have loved you. This is it, laying down one's life for his friends. And then he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You know, think about this great love of Jesus Christ. My wife and I were talking today, and my son called us this morning, so we were all three on the phone together, and he was sharing some of his devotions with us. And he was reading to us from a sermon that had been preached by Charles Spurgeon back in the 1800s. And Spurgeon said something that was so, it was just so powerful. It was so moving as we thought about it. He was talking about the work of Jesus on the cross. And he was actually using the high priest as an example. He was talking about how on the Day of Atonement, the high priest worked. It was a day of exhausting work for the high priest. The high priest normally would be dressed in his royal garments. And in that royal dress, he would be a picture of Christ, in a sense. But on the Day of Atonement, he stripped down and he wore just a linen ephod. And throughout the day, there were all of these sacrifices that had to be made. And the high priest was involved in this whole process of slaying these sacrifices and offering these sacrifices and all the work. And it was literally this exhausting experience to when, you know, the day was ended, the high priest would have been just completely and utterly spent physically and emotionally. And Spurgeon was talking about the cross. And he said, the hardest work that God ever performed was on the Day of Atonement, when Jesus made that atonement for us. And I was just thinking about that, how, you know, there's no indication whatsoever that God was tired or exhausted in creating the world. He spoke the world into existence. Now, it does say that he rested on the seventh day, but it doesn't mean that he rested because he was worn out. It means he rested because he was finished. But on that day, when Jesus went to the cross, it was a day of intense labor. God spoke the universe into existence. He had to work to save us. He had to bring himself not only to the point of exhaustion, he literally worked himself to death to save us. You think about that, how powerful that is. And I was just thinking in my mind of just the agony of the cross and all, you know, the actual physical labor that Jesus went through. The trials and the beatings, the scourging, the carrying of the cross, being nailed to the cross, hanging on the cross, and the exhaustion that he experienced there. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus there demonstrated the greatest love possible, laying down his life for his friends. But now he tells us, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You see, there it is again, that obedience thing. God desires a friendship with us. That in and of itself is utterly amazing. God wants to have a friendship with us. He wants to have a relationship with us that is like unto what we know on the human level as a friendship. Now think of your friends. And I'm sure that you have acquaintances. I'm sure you have people that you would say, well, yeah, that's a friend of mine. But then you have those special people, maybe, you know, two or three or a handful of people, or, you know, in some cases, maybe it's just one. But there's that person. That's your friend. And you love being with that person. You love sharing with that person. You have all of these different things in common, and you just, it's such an enjoyable thing, and oh, you just can't wait to be with them, and, you know, looking forward to the next time that you can spend some time together and all of that. Friendship is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And to have a close, intimate friend is truly a wonderful thing. Jesus said, you are my friends. This is God's desire. Back in the very beginning of history, God created Adam and Eve. And what do you think the main purpose of creating them was? It was to have communion with them. It was to have a friendship with them. And there's just that little word there in Genesis that gives us just the slightest glimpse of what that was like before the fall. It says that God would meet with them in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, I don't even know how to begin to imagine what that would have been like, but it must have been absolutely unbelievable. God would come there into the garden with Adam and Eve, and he would just, in the afternoon, he would just spend time with them. Amazing. But then, of course, sin came in, and the relationship was broken, and the fellowship that once existed was ruined. But God, not wanting to let that be the situation permanently, God then begins a work that will ultimately result in man being able to come back into fellowship with God. And you see, what we have today through Jesus, potentially, is what Adam and Eve had in the garden. That we can meet with the Lord. That we can walk with him in the garden, so to speak. That we can spend time with him in the cool of the day, in the early hours of the morning, in the late hours of the evening, or any time in between. We can have this communion, this experience, this fellowship with God. That's what Jesus came to restore. That's what the cross is about. It's about restoring that experience of fellowship. So many people mistakenly think of Christianity as a list of rules that you must obey in order to get to heaven someday. And so you just do your best, and you just, you know, you're going to try hard, and you're going to fail a bunch of times, and you're going to be miserable a lot, but hopefully you're going to be good enough to get there in the end. That is not Christianity. That is not the gospel. That is not what the Bible teaches about how to get to heaven. And that's not what the Bible teaches about what salvation is or the purpose of salvation is. Of course, the Bible teaches that we get to heaven by putting our faith and trust in Jesus. But you see, heaven is just the ultimate experience of fellowship with God. But God wants that fellowship to start right here on earth. It doesn't wait till we get to heaven. It starts here on earth. It's this reestablishing of a friendship. You know, the Bible uses the term reconciliation. You know what a reconciliation is? It's to bring together two parties that have been separated from each other. God and man were once united, but were separated by sin. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. God reconciled the world to himself through Jesus Christ. Why did he do that? So he could have a relationship with us. So we could know him. So we could have a personal experience with him. A personal encounter with him. Where he speaks to us. Where his presence is with us. He draws near to us. He pours out his love on us. Just like you have those kinds of experiences with your friend on the human level, there's a similarity in what we experience with the Lord. And Jesus says to these men, he says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Wow, this is really mind-boggling stuff. He says, I'm not even calling you servants anymore. I'm calling you friends. Now, we gladly and honorably refer to ourselves as God's servants, and that in and of itself is a wonderful title, to be a servant of God. What a wonderful thing. But God says, well, yeah, you're a servant, but you're my friend too. You know, you might work for somebody and they're your boss, but they also might be your friend. That can be a really good thing. The boss is your friend. He says, hey, you know, we're going to go on vacation. Why don't you take some time off and come with us? Oh, I couldn't do that because, you know, boy, I've got bills I need to, you know, I don't think I could do it. Oh, don't worry about it. Yeah, we'll cover it. Just come on, let's go have a good time. Well, that's a wonderful advantage of having a boss who's also your friend. God says, you're my servants, but you're also my friends. You see, it's not this situation where, you know, God is God, and there's no approaching that. You know, there are some Christians who present God like that and kind of want to be under that sort of a thing. I don't quite understand why anybody would want that.
Let's take a quick break and listen to what Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are saying about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
Hey, Brian. What's that book you're reading?
Cheryl, this book is called Doctrine for Difficult Days, and it's by J. Vernon McGee.
I love J. Vernon McGee.
Yes.
He's got that down-home style that just makes you feel like you're his beloved friend.
Yep, a down-home style, but J. Vernon McGee was
brilliant
mm-hmm. and he was quite a Bible scholar himself.
Yes,
and
he
so
was.
He's written this book, Important Theology Made Simple. It's easy to read and understand.
So you'd pretty much recommend this to any believer.
Yeah, I do. I love reading books on doctrine, but I wouldn't recommend all of them because, you know, some of them mm-hmm. are a little too complex and too much theological jargon. You're not going to get that with J. Vernon McGee. It's going to be just straightforward.
Thanks, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book, Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, will send you this book by J. Vernon McGee that addresses biblical teaching on major doctrines in Scripture. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.